morning that as we turn to your living and active word, that we recognize, Lord, in all of these things, we can do nothing. We can't even understand your word without the Holy Spirit coming and shedding light. So we ask, Lord, that you would shed light this morning upon your word and that you would speak to us all, Lord, please. Lord, sometimes some of us need a kick up the backside, Lord God, to G us up and to move us forward because, Lord, the Holy Spirit's often telling us to do things and we're too afraid or we think it's not you, Lord God, and we come up with every excuse rather than do what you say. And then when we do what you say, we realize, Lord, that it was you and you bless us greatly. And for all of us, we need to be a people, Lord, who understand what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's a complicated thing, Father. And it's a hard thing, but Lord, nonetheless, it's something that you expect of your children. And we want you, please, to teach us, because Lord, only you can really help us to do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Dave spoke last week regarding Luke's words, and we're saying last week that Luke was a doctor, Dr. Luke. And he had written to Theophilus. So if you read in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the Luke that we're talking about. That's the guy who wrote the book of Luke. But he's also the person responsible for the writing of the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. And in that very first line, Dr. Luke, he was a physician, he writes to this guy, Theophilus, about the work Jesus began to do. Some people sort of have this imagination, you know, with Jesus dying and going to heaven, that's it, he sat down and he's finished. But it's not, it's about the work that Jesus began to do. And although, as Dave rightly said, the redemptive work of Jesus is complete through his death on the cross, that work is complete. His work of building his church and the gates of hell not prevailing against it is ongoing to this very day. And Dave emphasized the Christian's need to know God experientially and to depend on the Holy Spirit. If we don't know God, we can't know the Holy Spirit or learn to depend on him. And without the Holy Spirit, no one can become a Christian. However, once he brings light and brings us to new birth in Christ, he then comes to dwell with us and in us. And he will remain with us and in us until we are called to go to be with the Lord. And sometimes you can think, well, I don't think the Holy Spirit lives in me as a Christian. Sometimes you can think, the Holy Spirit doesn't give me any gifts. Sometimes you can think, well, maybe he jumped out of me and he left me because I sinned and I let him down. Or I've grieved him so much that he has died inside of me. You go through all of these things in your head. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches when you become a Christian, God sends his Spirit. His Spirit comes to dwell within you. And he says, in spite of you, I will keep on doing the work that I have started until it is completed on the day of the Lord. And so, Jesus depended upon the Holy Spirit. So must we. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to his church to be our helper. We, therefore, if we need help, must tell you that there's work to be done. So he is sent as our helper because we have a work to do. In fact, Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I have done. That wasn't just a wee word to Peter and to all the disciples in Jesus' closest earthly ministry. This was his message to Christians in 2017, sitting here in Skipperstone Road in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. He's saying, you have a work to do, and some of that work will be greater things than I myself have done. But we cannot do any of it without the help of the helper. And having seen from eternity that God designed that man could approach him and how he first approached us in Jesus, through whom he opened the way for us to draw near to him, now we're looking at the Lord's commission to his disciples, that's me and you, to go and approach others. We have work to do, including greater things than Jesus did, and we might find that hard to believe. But we have work to do, including greater things than Jesus did. But what exactly is that work? And does it involve all Christians. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read from verse 18. Jesus has been crucified and laid in the tomb, and he's now raised from the dead, and he's meeting up with his disciples at different occasions. And here he is speaking to them. He says these words, "And as Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority," not some, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So let's just stop here for a wee second. See when you're seeing tar blocks burning in London. See when you're seeing ISIS blowing themselves up to kill people in Manchester. See when you're seeing attacks in different places. Do not lose your perspective here. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. These things are not taking the Lord by surprise. Somebody asked me about the tar block and the terrible fire, and terrible it is, and tragic as it is. They asked me, what do you think Jesus' response would be? And I says, well, one of his responses would be, repent or you will likewise perish. When the tar fell on 18 people somewhere in Israel, and the people went to see what Jesus would say, they thought he was going to go there. He didn't. He said, repent or you will likewise perish. Matthew 28, let's read on. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And then over backwards to Matthew chapter 5. It's interesting because Linda has just read something similar here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus is again speaking, and he says these words, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You see, during his earthly ministry, the Lord, at another point, sent 70 disciples out before him into towns and villages that he was going to visit, telling them to heal the sick and say, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." And Billy Morrison and I have said this many times, asking the wee question, when Jesus sent those disciples out to preach, what was it they actually preached? They couldn't say, "Repent of your sins and believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus," because Jesus hadn't died, therefore hadn't been resurrected. But whatever they preached, it was attested. It was followed up by miraculous signs and wonders, such as healings and deliverance from evil spirits. In fact, you get in that account, the 70 returned to Jesus rejoicing that they had witnessed these things happening. They had witnessed the healings. They had witnessed evil spirits being cast out. They had gone in the authority of Jesus and did what he commanded them to do. And later, while on the Mount of Olives, Jesus told his disciples this. This gospel, whatever they went out to preach, it's the same gospel in a sense that we have. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Well, keeping in context our readings this morning, today's Christians should applaud the first disciples of Jesus for having obeyed him, for having fulfilled the commission that he gave them. There are few countries in the world today where the gospel has not reached. There's approximately 20 countries where it's against the law to preach the gospel or to even become a Christian. For example, in Saudi Arabia, in North Korea, even in China, China has an official government-approved church where they can only preach what the government tells them to preach. They can only have their Christian meetings according to how the governments say they hold them, and it's called the Three Self Patriotic Movement, which they must adhere to. The pastors must adhere to government policies, while the true underground church in China suffers terrible persecution. But as far as the gospel going into all nations is concerned, we haven't got there yet. But with today's technology, with internet, with sermon streaming, with radio, TV, and with mobile phones, etc., it's getting there, and it's getting there fast. Whatever is the true extent of the proclamation of the gospel in the world today, it all started with those first few disciples simply obeying Jesus. Do you seriously think that when they heard Jesus say, "I want you to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation," that as they dispersed and went out to preach, do you seriously think that they would have thought what their influence was going to be and how the Spirit of God was going to use them in the way that he did? Right down to 2017, their initial influence, their initial going out in obedience to the Lord affects us here today. The commission, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," given by Jesus on a hillside in Galilee, applies today to every Christian, to every believer in Jesus. Who is this work? Who is this work for that Jesus has called us to do? Every Christian, every believer, because we are his disciples. When he was raised from the dead, when he ascended to sit at the Father's right hand in heaven, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be what? To be our helper, to dwell with us and to be in us. He did this not only to sanctify us and to give us a wee help along the road in our Christian life. He did it so that we would be enabled, equipped, and empowered to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I love Shiloh. And I love the fact that we can say, and not in a proud and boastful sense without robbing God of glory, but we can say we've influenced in India, we've influenced in Moldova, we've influenced in Israel, we've influenced in Uganda, we've influenced in so many different places for a small fellowship sitting here. But the commission is still, go out there and make disciples of all nations, because the Holy Spirit, our helper, enables us, equips us, and empowers us to do exactly that. And if you personally and experientially know God, then you've received the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, and you are immediately called to serve the Lord. You don't sit in some wee training school. When God comes into your life, when the Holy Spirit moves in your life and you become a Christian, I mean, I don't ask people to put their hands up here, but many of us, as soon as it happened, felt the urge to want to tell someone, to want to tell other people. That was the Spirit of God saying, guess what? You're commissioned to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Our service is to fulfill the commission that Jesus gives to all of his people. Remember, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to his church as our helper to include helping us to fulfill his commission. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations. We are commissioned, to put it in our terms, we're authorized with all the authority of heaven and earth that has been given by Jesus. We are authorized by that authority to go and approach others and tell them of the love of God and of Jesus, to proclaim freedom to those who are captives to Satan, sin, and death, and to show them God's salvation. Now, this is a work every Christian must do. This is the message we must all proclaim. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. For some, their work will mean that they do greater things than Jesus did. Individuals may be asked to leave their families. They may be asked to leave their homes and their countries to serve in far-off places. Naomi, for example, never dreamed that originally she would be heading off to Uganda, but she made links there and she's in Uganda again. Jimmy didn't think that he was going to India to Little Hearts, and next thing he was away in Israel. We just don't know what God is going to do. When Shiloh sent all of the people out to Moldova, they didn't know at that, and they didn't know a year before that these things were going to happen. God just moved and used us to influence others and to take the gospel out into the nations. So individuals may be asked to leave their families, their homes and their countries to serve in far-off places. Others will simply be expected to fulfill the commission here at home. That suits me. But none of us, no matter where we're called to go, no matter what we're called to do, none of us can do any of this work expected of us without the help of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. You see, the commission of Jesus is about the Christian's faith in action. And I was saying this to the Lord during the week, and I'm sure the Lord thinks you've got a brass neck the way you put things. But what I was saying is, the commission of Jesus is about the Christian's faith in action. See if your faith is not in action. You don't have faith. It's as useful to you as a chocolate teapot. It's not saving faith. It's not going to do you any good whatsoever. You can talk about all the faith in Jesus in the world, but if it's not in action, it's useless. It is a dead faith. James says it himself, faith without works, faith without action, faith without obeying Jesus by going into the world and preaching the gospel, faith without these things is dead. It's flipping useless. The commission of Jesus is about the Christian putting their faith into action. The Christian's belief outworked in obedient service to the Lord. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago that we shouldn't be satisfied with following the Lord from a distance, but nor should we be hide our light away Christians. It's like giving your testimony, saying, you know, I know Jesus. Yeah, but I know Jesus. But, you know, don't ask me too many questions. You know, it's like having a lamp, as Jesus said, and putting it underneath the bed. You know, it's the house still in darkness. We are not to follow the Lord from a distance, and we're not to be hide our light away Christians who don't let others see our light or let others know that we are followers of Jesus. We've talked here about some Christians that we know who are down in the clubs and the pubs on a Friday and Saturday night, and you cannot tell the difference between them and an unbeliever. And God says, you can't do that. You've got to let your light shine. As Jesus said, we are to let our light shine for all to see, not hide it away. If we let our light shine, if we do the works the Lord requires of us, people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Remember, Jesus said, He is building His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But guess what? He's building it by using you and me, by using us to approach others in His name and with His love to tell them the good news of the kingdom. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus, and with that authority, He has authorized us. Jimmy, go and make disciples of all nations. Rocky, go into the world and make disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit and of the Son. Go and tell people all of the wonderful things that I have told you. Teach them these things. Command them to do them, because in doing them, there is life. Jesus is saying, I have all authority in heaven and earth, and I'm saying to you, go and tell other people. You have my authority. Now, do you hear in that reading any exceptions in this commission? Does it say, go and make disciples all nations, but not you, Gary, because you're a wee bit tired? No, it doesn't say that. Go and make disciples of all nations, but not you, Rita, because you've done enough. Doesn't say that. It says to all, go and make disciples of all nations, all of you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that He has commanded us. Do you hear any exceptions? Can you read any exceptions in that commission? There aren't any. Jesus is expecting that that is what we are doing. All commissions, all Christians are commissioned to go and approach others with God's good news. But thanks be to God, and Cyril knows this because we've been saying, when we go around to that nursing home, and Billy and Linda have been there, and others have been there, and Julie was there last week as well, and Sandra, and honestly, when you're sitting, the cheeks of your backside's going like this, outside. You know, what am I like in my house when you call around, Cyril, and I just, I need to go to the toilet. And then I come downstairs, and I said, why the heck did I say I would do this? And Cyril seems all right with it. I'm not. I struggle, but I know he's at the same. As soon as I said, will you give your testimony? Suddenly, you know, he's turned whiter shade of pale. Because we know we're taking up the commission, but thanks be to God. We're not expected to do this in our own strength. We have been given the help from Jesus, the Helper, the Holy Spirit from Jesus to enable us, to equip us, and to empower us to fulfill our work. But there's something more wonderful. You see, in that passage of that great commission that Jesus gave to His disciples, the most wonderful promise is also included. And Jesus gives it in this way. When He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And then this promise, I will be with you always, even on to the end of the age. You see, not only does Jesus commission us to go and approach others with the gospel, so He's saying to us, listen guys, listen to me carefully. He says, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. So let me tell you, it doesn't matter what happens on heaven or on earth. I'm telling you, I have all authority, and I'm authorizing you in my name to go and make disciples of all nations. And then He says, and here's the Holy Spirit, because He's your helper. He's going to help you to be able to do this. And He says, and I promise you, I will be with you. I will be with you even on to the end of the age. How wonderful is Jesus? Not only does He open the way for us to approach God, He then sends the Holy Spirit to help us to do what is expected of us, and then promises, wherever you go, whatever I ask you to do, I promise you, I will be with you always. Isn't Jesus just wonderful? See, if you're traveling up to the hospital because you're sick and you're in the waiting room, He's there saying, make disciples of all nations. I will be with you. Don't rely on your own strength. The Holy Spirit's with you and in you. He'll help you. When you're getting about your daily business and you're being overwhelmed by the pressures just of life on a daily basis, the Lord is saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Live your life. Preach the gospel. Demonstrate it. Let your light shine. My helper is there to shed light and to help you. And guess what? I will be with you always. Christian, you've been commissioned by Jesus to go in His authority and approach others with the good news about Him and to tell them what He has done for them. Don't be a hide your light away Christian, but let it shine and with the help of the Holy Spirit fulfill what the Lord has asked you to do, remembering Jesus is with you always. Maybe there's someone here this morning, someone listening to our podcasts, and they're not yet a believer in Jesus. Well, then you presently don't know God personally or experientially, and therefore you cannot call yourself a Christian or a follower of Jesus. That means you don't have the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a Christian. Now, if you remain in that condition without the Holy Spirit, you will die in your sin and you will be lost for all eternity. But God loves you and wants you to know Him and to experience His love for you. That's why He sent Jesus to die for you, so that He would pay the debt for your sin and so that you could receive God's forgiveness. God says to you today, confess your sin, agree with God that you are a sinner, repent, turn around from your sin, and believe in Jesus, and you shall be saved. And you can immediately receive the Holy Spirit, who will come to be your helper, to dwell with you, to be in you, and to empower you. And He will lead you into the good works that God has prepared for you to do. And you too can take a hold of the promise of Jesus, who said, "And I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." Let me just finish with prayer, Billy. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just ask, please, that Your Spirit would speak to us and help us to understand that we are commissioned by the One who has all authority in heaven and earth to go into the world and tell others of Him and of His love. Help us by Your Spirit to do that, please. Lead us to where You want us to go, to do what You want us to do. Enable, equip, and empower us, Holy Spirit, please, that we can let our light shine before others, that they might see that light and give glory to our Father in heaven. We ask, Almighty God, that You would enable us to do this by Your Spirit, in the authority of Jesus. Amen.